Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Just finished up my Luigi's Victory Pizza. Thin crust pepperoni, absolutely amazing. If you haven't checked out your Luigi's Victory Pizzas yet, what are you waiting for? Check them out over at luigispizza.com and, of course, on social media at Luigi's Pizza. I am overjoyed, not just because I had my Victory Pizza, but also because I am joined once again by the one and only Carmi Vitale. You can find her on social media at Carmi V, host of Fox Sports Saturdays on Fox Sports Radio. Carmen, it is wonderful to have you back. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm great. It's been quite the eventful kind of off season, and now we're finally into the real stuff where our jobs get that much easier because there's finally more stuff to talk about. We don't just have to sit there and prognosticate all the time.
It's a very true statement, and it's even much more easier when the Packers go out and start the way that they start after going out and getting Micah Parsons as well. There's not a lot of like deep diving that you need to do on some stuff. You get to talk about a team that's gone out and beat Detroit and Washington in back-to-back weeks while Micah Parsons looks absolutely incredible in the process. We'll get to all of that. I want to just start, even before we get to just Packers Commanders, how are you feeling about this Packers team through 2 weeks so far, where I think a lot of Packers fans, even myself included, would have said, hey, just get to 1-1 through these first two games. You've got Detroit and Washington, both games at home. 0-2 would feel really, really rough. 2-0 would be amazing, but you can get to 1-1, go to Cleveland, go to Dallas. You feel good that you can maybe go into that bye week 3-1, but now they're 2-0. What have you seen from this team through these first 2 weeks?
Well, I mean, going into the season to start with, I was like, this division is still wide open to me, given the question marks that exist for the Lions and, you know, for the Vikings, especially when you factor in J.J. McCarthy. Although on Monday night, I had a feeling he was going to be pretty good, given who his coach is and just, you know, the belief the organization has in him. And turns out, I think they're onto something with him. But there were so many question marks coming into this season. And I really felt like it was anyone's game, and maybe the Lions were still the favorites, and maybe, you know, they weren't going to take the step back that we thought they were. And I still don't think they necessarily are, but oh my God, that trade with Micah Parsons, arguably your biggest weakness from last season, outside of the injuries, obviously, that kind of stunted the offense's progress. I was like, Green Bay's coming for the division and possibly the conference. And after 2 weeks, I'm like, no, they're coming for the whole league. Like, they look phenomenal. And they looked phenomenal in the opening game. They looked really, really good on 3 days rest. You know, we never get, even if we get good matchups now on Thursday Night Football, you don't exactly get good games because how could they be at that point?
Yep.
But I mean, it's such a complete team up there in Green Bay. And when you factor in, as long as the offense stays relatively healthy, which obviously there was a little bit of a setback last night. But the defense is just, I think Xavier McKinney, we talked about this a lot last year, Andy, where like Xavier McKinney was kind of masking a lot of the defensive deficiencies because of the takeaways that he was getting. Those deficiencies no longer exist, especially with Micah Parsons. The way that he's elevated the play of everyone around him just in the limited amount of snaps that he has been on the field for and how effective he's been in that span, plus being in the second year of Jeff Hafley's system, everybody is that much more comfortable that was there last year. I don't see a glaring weakness with this team right now.
You know, it's funny because a lot of people, when Green Bay got Micah, they gave up 2 first-round picks. They gave up Kenny Clark. One of the big things that people looked at is like, they just gave him a quarterback contract. Like, they gave him a contract that would be consummate with like a really good starting quarterback. Like, that's a lot of money to give a player. And I'll say, I don't know. And there's probably been, you know, some players in the past that are certainly in this conversation. Green Bay's had it with Reggie White and Charles Woodson, certainly. But when you talk about like a really great quarterback, right? You talk about the Mahomes, the Allens, the Lamars. And one of the things that you always talk about with them is how everything around them elevates, that their receivers look better because you have them at quarterback. The run game works better because everyone's worried about them at quarterback. The offensive line play is almost even better because they can avoid some of the stuff up front. And even if things go poorly up front, they can avoid the sack and still make things happen. They just are a elevator to everything that you are doing on offense, that it makes it worth that money, that you don't maybe need a $35, $40 million wide receiver. You may not need a first round pick running back or some of those things because you have that player at quarterback that just elevates everything and makes everything better. I don't know that defensively I have quite seen something like this, where Micah Parsons seems to be that version of a Mahomes or an Allen or a Lamar Jackson, but on the defensive side, where it's not only him doing incredible things, but to your point, it now Devontae Wyatt looks better, LVN looks better, Rashawn Gary, Edgerrin Cooper, Keyshawn Nixon, Evan Williams, all of them, they all look better because Mike is on the team and are playing with a confidence because that player is on the team. It is really remarkable what he has brought to this defense in such a short period of time.
And I also, the thing about Micah Parsons that I think a lot of Dallas fans would tell you, and I think part of this is probably sour grapes, but you know, he tends to taper off as the season wears on with his effectiveness. And right now everything is shiny and new for him. He's very, you know, he's been welcomed with open arms to Green Bay. Everybody's very excited about him. And he's got all the motivation in the world to also say, like, to Dallas, like, why did you trade me? Like, look at what I can do. And does that taper off? And for my money, if he's been this effective while he's dealing with a back injury and you have him on a limited snap count, I don't know that I would increase his snaps even when he gets healthy if he is able to be this effective for the rest of the defense, who you do, like, you have very good players on this defense. Like, it's not like it's Micah Parsons and then a bunch of, like, non-NPCs, and that's the term the gaming kids use.
Yep.
It's a ton. There's still a ton of talent on this defense. So if the effect of Micah Parsons can be felt with a limited number of snaps or him on a snap count, I would keep him on that as a means of preserving that throughout the season, so you don't see that drop off come December and January when these games really start to ramp up and matter. And if you can get that production out of him with this amount, like, I can't think of a better scenario or a situation or a plan for longevity and sustaining this pace. That's why, you know, everybody talks about, are you peaking too soon? Like, you know, you look this good right in the beginning of the season. Is that going to keep up? I think it can if you're smart about how you manage this whole thing.
I really like the snap management thing. I know he already does not want to be on a snap count. He mentioned it last night. He wants to be out there every single play, which I get and I appreciate. I do agree that there probably is a honeymoon phase here, right? Like, there always is that. What we saw with Khalil Mack when he first went to Chicago, like, there is that, like, immediate moment where they just kind of play out of their minds. And then you can see, like, all right, does this consistently stay for the longevity? I think the one thing that has me believing that it can, I believe Jeff Hafley will continue to find ways to sort of pique his interest and motivate him of, like, oh, you're kind of getting a little bit bored just rushing from left defensive end. All right, how about you play, you know, some off-ball linebacker, or we're just going to, you know, stand you up over center for the majority of this game. Or maybe today we'll just drop you into coverage just for fun, just as a change of pace to put out there on tape. Like, I have a feeling Jeff Hafley is going to kind of hit that sweet spot a little bit with Micah to be like, we're going to use you in all different ways, things that you haven't even thought of, just to challenge you and to keep that mind kind of going, because it does seem like he wants that unique play style and just to do some different things. I have a feeling Hafley's going to be able to scratch that itch for him.
I think so too. I mean, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Jeff Hafley. It just, even from what he was able to do last year and the way that he was able to kind of remake this system into something it hadn't been in a very long time, so quickly. And also, it's not like Micah Parsons is your only kind of chess piece either. Like, you have Edgerrin Cooper, who is one of the most exciting young linebackers in the league at this point, and he can do so many different things. And Jeff Hafley has shown, even through 2 weeks of the season, he's not afraid to deploy him in different ways either. So if you have guys like Edgerrin Cooper and Micah Parsons that you can kind of play around with and move around and get really creative with, you're right, it's going to keep those guys' interest. It's going to keep them motivated. It's going to keep them having fun more than anything else. And I think it's really funny to kind of see this team, not that the identity is obviously shifting because Green Bay has always been known for some like some great quarterback play and really good potent offenses. But when you have a defense like this to lean on, if you're Jordan Love, that just makes the margin for error that much larger. And so you can, I mean, we have seen that Jordan Love is not risk averse.
No,
he's very like in some ways, I think that he's even reckless, but that's what makes him fun. And I don't think you ever want to coach that out of him. But this gives you kind of a soft landing to play that style of offense and fully trust Jordan Love to do whatever he needs to do and to play the way that he wants to play, because you know that even if it goes wrong, that defense has your back and can already kind of limit the amount of points being scored against you, so that, you know, if not every drive results in points, it shouldn't be that big of a deal. I mean, we heard Micah Parsons talk about it after the game where he was like, defense wins championships, because how many times have you seen quarterbacks light up the field and their team still loses? But if the defense lights up the field and they limit the amount of points, odds are you're winning that game. Like if there's very few games where it happens where like the defense only allows 10 points and that team doesn't win the game. And he's right. That's why we've always had the age old adage of defense wins championships, because that's, you know, especially in the postseason, that's when it comes in handy. So having that mentality is a little bit new, I feel like, but it's, I think, a really, again, I find myself going back to the word sustainable. It's a sustainable way of keeping the success that is expected of the Green Bay Packers.
It does, you know, obviously the most recent championship in Green Bay was 2010. This does remind me a little bit more of 96. Jordan's got a little bit more Brett in him, where he's willing to take some of those wild shots down the field. You know, they needed in that season to pick up an Andre Rison midseason. You know, they had Keith Jackson and Mark Chmura, similar to kind of Luke Musgrave and Tucker Kraft. You've got your Micah Parsons, Reggie White comparisons that are right there for you. They go out and get, you know, they have obviously Leroy Butler. You've got your Xavier McKinney. It's not exactly a complete apples to apples, but that was where Fritz Schirmer's defense was taking over the NFL. It feels like Jeff Hafley's defense is taking over the NFL. That's sort of the comp for me right now. That's a heavy comp to live up to. I get we're just 2 weeks in and nobody's crowning Green Bay yet, but does remind me a little bit of that sort of formula that they used in 96. Hopefully the same thing comes to fruition. As we look at Packers, Commanders, and just look back at this game, what, you know, we talked about Micah Parsons, the defense, but what just kind of stood out to you and what were kind of your key takeaways just from this game in particular?
Well, can we at least start with, or can we start with the Packers social media post of exciting whites are still exciting or are still undefeated?
Has like really taken a full 180 turn, where they used to be the most like buttoned up and like trim and proper of like, is this an okay thing to post? And it's just like the most mundane thing ever. And now it's just like, we're just going to post whatever.
Right. Exciting white, still undefeated. And then it's like a giant picture of Tucker Kraft. And you're just like, I love this. This is phenomenal. So it's not only a play on the uniforms, but it's a play on the white guy that's making all the plays for you. And that's, I think, where I'd like to start with, you know, with Packers Commanders, just because you saw what Matt LaFleur loves his tight ends, right? He loves multiple tight end sets. And this has always been an integral part of the Green Bay's offense under Matt LaFleur. And I love seeing, I think so many of us thought, you know, when Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave got to Green Bay, that Luke Musgrave was kind of in pole position there and he was going to be the one that was going to shoulder a lot more of the load and that, and not to say that he can't do it or whatever, but the emergence of Tucker Kraft has been phenomenal. He is such a good player. He is such a safety net for Jordan Love. His catch radius is phenomenal. And when you have a quarterback like Jordan Love, who is just going to go chuck it down the field and who likes to be so anticipatory that sometimes his receiver is nowhere to be found at spot where he's throwing the ball at that moment, but then gets there. Having a guy like Tucker Kraft is just such a cheat code for this offense. And so seeing him kind of be able to shine in that game against the Commanders and, you know, get the score at the end, that really kind of, I think at that point in the game, you know, you're back within one score. Washington has just, you know, pulled within a score, 17-10. And you kind of start to think like, oh, Packers took their foot off the gas. Okay, can they survive this? Because that's kind of been where they've gotten into trouble, you know, last season or whatever. And then you go and it's what, a 6-play drive that ends in that Tucker Kraft touchdown. And you're just like, oh, no, they're good. It's fine.
Yep.
And it, having that for Jordan Love, I think, is just so invaluable.
We'll be right back. This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, you and I make decisions every single day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you seriously paid. Now, don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it is good to be right. Green Bay is 2-0, and after a mini bye, they are set to take on Cleveland in their first road game of the season. And I'll tell you right now, I'm going to be going heavy on Matthew Golden and Edgerrin Cooper in this matchup. I'm also going to be keeping a close eye on Josh Allen, AJ Brown, and Ashton Jeanty in week 3. Now, some of you may be new, so let me just tell you, Prize Picks is super simple. Just pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections, and if you get your picks right, you could cash in. Lately, I've been really enjoying Flex Play, which allows you to still cash out even if your lineup isn't perfect. You can double your money even if one of your picks doesn't hit. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY, Prize Picks. It is good to be right. Hey friends, there are certain fall aesthetics that just bring back a multitude of personal and family memories that can't simply be replaced. A perfect autumn bonfire, the smell of fallen leaves, and of course, the best smell of them all, a perfect cut of meat searing wonderfully on a hot grill. And you know what season it is in Green Bay? It's tailgating season. That's why I already have a whole host of beautiful Omaha steaks ready for the grill this football season. I went with their fall bestsellers pack, which includes filet mignons, pork chops, jumbo franks, chicken breasts, and so much more. Now, Omaha Steaks has been America's original butcher since 1917. It's a family-owned company that has over 100 years of expertise in the meat industry. And the best part is that every steak is perfectly aged to maximize tenderness. So get fired up for fall grilling with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Red Hot Sale event. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code PACKADAY at checkout. That's 50% off at omahasteaks.com and an extra $35 with promo code PACKADAY at checkout. See site for details.
It is interesting if like it does feel like as soon as they need that score, they have a whole bunch of stuff in their bag. They're like, oh, we actually have to try again now. It's like, all right, we'll just go down and right. score a touchdown with relative ease. Like, could you just do that maybe a little just bit?
Keep your foot on their necks regardless.
On it instead of just like, oh, now we're just gonna do like handoff, third and long, incompletion, punt away. It's like, just keep doing some of that stuff. Maybe bring out that Savion Williams trick play a little bit earlier. Maybe just a little bit quicker before you actually have to. But it is, at least they have it there when they need it to turn it back on and be like, all right, go time again, immediate two touchdown lead again right after that. Mm-hmm. But I think Matt certainly saw, with Kyle Shanahan, how valuable George Kittle was in that offense. And it does feel a little bit like he has his version of George Kittle now. I also want to give Goody a lot of credit because there's a lot of GMs that would take a tight end in the second round and Luke Musgrave and be like, all right, we're good. We're not going to take any more tight ends, right? Like, we're not going to do another one on with a top 100 pick. But Tucker Kraft was there around later in round 3. They saw the value there. It was supposed to be a really deep tight end class. They took advantage of it. They get Tucker Kraft in the third round, and is apt to be the case from time to time. Just like Aaron Jones was better than Jamal Williams, and you sometimes the one that you take after is a little bit better. Tucker Kraft has been the steal in the third round at tight end. He has been a major godsend for this offense and really looks like kind of a go-to weapon right now for Jordan Love.
Yeah, and that's what tight ends are supposed to be. I mean, I think I could wax poetic for hours about how undervalued I think tight ends are. And I don't know if that's because not as many coordinators know what to do with them, but the mismatches that you can gain from having tight ends, especially if you have multiple tight ends out there that can do both, as in block, they can release in routes, they can do everything, that puts a defense on its heels so much. And again, it goes back to who do you put on him then? Because he's a giant dude. Like, using Tucker Kraft as an example, giant dude, can run really well, can run routes really well. He can also stay in and block. He's a really good combination tight end. And it's like, all right, so if you put a linebacker on him, odds are he's too slow to keep up with Tucker Kraft. You put a safety on him, well, odds are he's too small to contend with Tucker Kraft, and especially the catch radius that he has. So what do you do with a guy like that? And then if you put Luke Musgrave on the field also, I mean, these are, I think, some of the most fun offenses to me to watch are the ones that deploy that 12 personnel or even 13, you know, especially at the goal line, stuff like that, very often, because again, it's such a mismatch when it comes to what defenses are going to trot out onto the field. I mean, right away you wonder, like, should you be in base? Should you still be in nickel? Like, again, it goes back to who are you putting on these guys, and the way that whoever you do put on them, there's a way to exploit that. So I love this offense when it's humming and when it has those two tight ends. And again, like I love Tucker Kraft as a guy that is a safety net for Jordan Love, where Jordan Love can just chuck it to him, whether that is a short yardage situation or that is down the field. I mean, having a guy like that, that Jordan Love trusts, especially when he's throwing the fadeaway jumper down the field, that is just, it's so good. It's so, so good. And I think, again, going back to, I guess, the word of the day, it's sustainable. It's a way to keep this offense humming, and it's a way to like gather yourself if things aren't going right, as we saw in this game, like we just detailed. I mean, that is a way to kickstart this offense when you do have those stall outs, though we don't want those stall outs in the first place if you're a Packer fan.
No, you certainly don't. And, you know, one of those other jump ball players eventually coming back, Christian Watson should be back here sometime, you would think, in the next, you know, 3, 4, 5 weeks or so. So just another weapon, not to mention Marshawn Lloyd in the backfield too. We'll talk about Jaden Reed's injury in just a moment. But before we get to that, what do you, or how do you view Jordan Love so far through two games this season? What have been your impressions of him?
Yeah, he looks confident, and I mean, he looks healthy. I think that's the most important part of all of this, is that he is, you know, he's being a little slippery within, even within the pocket, stepping up in the pocket in the face of any sort of pressure. I think the line has held really well for him, and especially it was on display, honestly, on Thursday night, where there were multiple times where Jordan Love kind of stepped up and delivered with guys bearing down on him, but his tackles were able to keep it, you know, keep that at bay. And when you don't have all of your starters and you're not, your offensive line is not at full strength, that's a really good sign to me that Jordan Love kind of knows how to manipulate and maneuver the pocket in order to still get done what he needs to get done. And yeah, he looks just really confident, and, you know, he's back to being that dude. I think at times last year, through no fault of his own, you know, the injuries and the fact that there were injuries to his receivers, there was just no sort of consistency or continuity or rhythm to be had. And you could tell that there was times where Jordan Love was just straight up uncomfortable. Yeah. And that's not what we've seen through 2 weeks of the season at all. He looks completely at home, and he looks in command of this offense, which is exactly what you want. And he's feeding the ball to multiple receivers too, which is, again, a strength of this team. I know that like Matthew Golden has started to step up, and you do kind of want him to be that true number one wide receiver, but you can't forget about all the other options you have at every level of this offense. And Jordan Love seems acutely aware of everything he has at his disposal, which is great.
Yeah, I think so too. He just seems so much more confident right now in the pocket, where again, last year, and you can imagine, especially with the MCL and the groin and everything that he's dealing with, probably didn't want to get hit in some of those situations. Didn't feel, you know, super confident navigating the pocket because of the injury. Right now, it just feels like he can kind of do what he wants, and stepping into some of those deep out throws where, you know, either or the comebacks where Wicks or Dobbs are working along the sidelines and having the arm talent just to be able to, you know, get those on a line. It's been a very different Jordan
Love. And that ball to Malik Heath. Oh
yeah.
Oh my incredible. Goodness. I mean, incredible catch for Malik to get his 2 feet down, but oh my God, the ball placement. It was so fun.
The one to Jaden Reed too, that got called back due to penalty. I mean, that touchdown throw is a gorgeous one as well. The week before, he had one to Jaden along the sideline that was like no chance, and he put it right on Jaden where only Jaden could get it. Jaden couldn't hold on to that one. But I mean, some of the throws that he is making, that this is to your point from earlier of like, do not take that out of him. Like it is a weapon, and it is an advantage when he is playing confident and taking those shots down the field. And it scares defenses too, because they have to cover so much deeper, where it's not just check down route. It's like, oh, this guy might throw at any given moment, regardless of the coverage that we have. Like, we still have to continue to cover these guys. And I think it actually ends up being a huge advantage for Green Bay. One of the things obviously that we mentioned is Jaden Reed's injury. He's going to be out for a while with a broken collarbone. Looks like a maybe 6 to 8 week injury. Green Bay has the depth at wide receiver, but still a bummer to lose Jaden Reed moving forward.
Yeah, it is. Cause we were just talking about how amazing it is that Jordan Love has all these options at his disposal. And then if you keep kind of chipping away at those, that's where you kind of get to some of last year. I mean, if Jordan Love is healthy, it's not going to be as bad as what we saw last year, but you certainly don't want to keep having guys that kind of in and out of the lineup. That play was just so unfortunate, like you said, because, you know, it was called back. It's literally insult to injury, where you're just like, God, that couldn't have gone worse for Jaden Reed. And you feel bad for the kid because he's such an exciting player. clearly he has a great rapport with Jordan Love. I mean, we've heard that they were working together in the off season and this, that, the other. Like, they seem to really have a good relationship, and you want as many of those weapons to be available, because again, that does keep defenses on its heels, and that can be a strength of this team, provided that Jordan Love is healthy and knows what to do with all of those options, which through 2 weeks of the season, we just talked about, he does look like he knows what to do with all of them. So you never want those guys to be taken away. But if you're going to have a key player go down at any position, it's probably best that it's in a really, really deep wide receiver room. On top of the fact that, yes, you have multiple tight ends that you can throw to, you have running backs that you can throw, you know, that can catch out of the backfield. So that's one of those things where you can afford to take that hit if you're the Green Bay Packers, though, of course, you don't want to.
No, you certainly don't. But it does give Matthew Golden and Savion Williams some time to get even more up to speed and maybe ingrained in this offense a little bit more. Not to mention you get Christian Watson back and he's going to start taking some snaps. So they're well prepared for this. You have even Mecole Hardman on the practice squad that can do some of the stuff that Jaden Reed does in the slot and some of the gadget stuff also. So that they're well insulated from an injury like this. Doesn't mean that it's advantageous in any way, shape or form, but I think they can survive it and then get him back for the stretch run and have him be a big piece. And you're probably going to have another injury at some point, and then maybe somebody else goes out, but it's like, okay, but you're getting Jaden Reed back. So these things just kind of, hopefully, fingers crossed, have a way of working their way out. As we look at Green Bay the rest of the way, and coming up, we won't go into it too deep, but like, you've got at Cleveland, at Dallas, then you get a bye week, you get Cincinnati at home, two more on the road against Arizona and Pittsburgh, and then Carolina at home. That's kind of like their next stretch of games. Yeah. Who challenges Green Bay? I mean, Cincinnati, good team, you know, going on the road to Pittsburgh is going to be a fun one and an emotional one with Aaron Rodgers there. But, you know, coming up, they feels like they have some games that, based on how they played so far, they can win. We'll be right back.
Yeah. And I mean, that it's ironic that game against the Cowboys might've given you pause if Micah Parsons was still in Dallas, but without Micah Parsons, that Dallas defense does not look like it's going to be as effective at all as it would have been with him, which is again, just kind of a mind blowing part of like, why do you trade a guy like that? I know that he's a handful off the field or whatever, but good Lord, if he's not worth putting up with that for, I don't know who is. I would say that the Bengals could be kind of something that, and not because of their defense, obviously, because it's the jury's still out on, like, the Bengals are so frustrating to me because I love their offense. I love Joe Burrow. I love Jamar Chase, T. Higgins. They seem to have gotten Chase Brown a lot more involved now, and they have kind of a more balanced offense. And it's just going completely wasted on the fact, like, you just need that defense to be merely bad. Like, they just, like, not horrendous. They don't even have to be average, though. They just have to be merely bad. And they seem to not be able to manage that. But that being said, Cincinnati is absolutely capable of shootouts. So, like, they are capable of scoring points, and you have to be able to keep up with them offensively. I do think the Packers can, especially through what we've seen through 2 weeks. But I do think that that's still good. It's still going to be it's not going to be an easy out, you know, with Cincinnati because of the fact that they can put up points, if nothing else. So you have to keep up with them. But outside of that, I mean, it's kind of the early bye week just kind of sucks because then, like, you think when you are making that push, when you need the health, when you need kind of the ability to reset maybe a little bit down the stretch, you're not going to have that opportunity. But I guess the silver lining of that is that you can really get into a rhythm provided you do stay healthy. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. I think I'd always rather take the later bye weeks, especially if you have true Super Bowl aspirations, which I believe the Packers do, especially from what Rashawn Gary told me this summer. So it seems like he saw, I don't know, he didn't see Micah Parsons coming, I don't think, but he saw this defense like looking a lot better. So I think that that's the biggest challenge is like that early bye week. But yeah, I mean, a lot of winnable games in this stretch.
Yeah, I think so too. It's going to be interesting to see how they navigate that bye week in these upcoming games. And Cincinnati too, I think that's going to be a great game. Also later in the year, you get Philadelphia and you get Baltimore. Both of those games are going to be really fun as well. So I'm really, really excited to see how, I mean, those are just marquee matchups. You got Philadelphia at home on Monday Night Football on November 10th, and then Baltimore at home in week 17. That's a flex game. I can promise you that's probably going to be one of the premier games of that weekend as well.
Yeah.
Two of the bigger games coming up on the remainder of the schedule for sure. Just going to the bye week just for a moment. The one nice thing is Mike is not fully ingrained yet. You get him a little bit more of that time to kind of finally get some practice time. Also, you've got some of the injuries that are on the team. You've got Marshawn Lloyd and Christian Watson who would be eligible to practice around that time coming off the PUP and IR list. So there's some things that could work there. Also, you do have that Thanksgiving game against Detroit. So you will have that mini bye week coming off of Thanksgiving a little bit later in the season. That hopefully helps a little bit as well. Before we get you out of here, Carmen, Buffalo Bills, as of we're recording this right now, around noon Central time on Friday, Bills plus 700, Ravens plus 700, Eagles plus 700, Packers plus 750. Then it takes a jump after that to the Chiefs at plus 1,000. It seems like Vegas believes that the Packers are in a very small inner circle of about four teams that have a real legitimate shot to compete for a Super Bowl here.
I mean, that's the only reason you do that trade if you're Goody, because, and like Goody has proved that he's willing to do these things if he really thinks it's worth it. And I have to, at this point, it's early. There's still stuff that could go wrong, but you don't think that you're picking outside of like the mid to late 20s regardless. And so those two first round picks that you gave up, you would like to think are kind of back of the round type picks. And if that's the case, and that's what you gave up to get a player and provided Micah Parsons keeps up this level of play, I mean, you would do that every day and twice on Sundays. Like, you would just do it because of what it does for your chances to actually win now, for the ways that it makes your team complete. And it gives you longevity, like we said, and it gives you sustainability. And to endure the long season and to continue to compete in the postseason with these juggernauts of teams, like, that is what you're up against. And I mean, you're going to be battle tested if you're the Green Bay Packers coming out of this division, because I still think this is a very tough division, if not the toughest division in football. And so I think that that plays to actually an advantage for Green Bay or for anybody that ends up coming out of the North, because I think that the best teams that go the furthest in the postseason are the ones where things haven't gone right all season and they have had stiff competition and they have been battle tested, because it's only going to get worse in the postseason. But now Green Bay, top to bottom, is equipped to handle any of those teams. And it's interesting too, because I look at this game against the Commanders and you saw Jaden Daniels scramble seven different times, only getting what, 17 yards, I believe it was, which is like the lowest of a quarterback in forever. I don't remember the year off the top of my head, but it's been a long, very long time. And I think about the Packers' stiffest competition in the NFC and who their quarterback is. And it's the Philadelphia Eagles and Jalen Hurts, and who's a really good scrambler and can usually beat you with his legs. But if you're that solid that you can collapse that pocket that quickly and you have guys on the outside that can get to him and you don't have to expend too many extra resources in order to contend with a scrambling or running quarterback, that to me is a great way to go about winning this entire conference and getting to the Super Bowl at the very least. So I don't know, that was kind of like ruminating in the back of my mind as I was watching the way that this defense handled Jaden Daniels. Not to say that Jaden Daniels and Jalen Hurts are necessarily the same quarterback, but there were some remnants there where I was like, okay, if you can get to a guy that quickly, because good Lord, they just smothered Jaden anytime he tried to take off. If you can do that with Jalen Hurts, then I'm going to put Green Bay up against anybody.
That is a perfect way to end. I did ask Matt about a little bit of like, hey, you in the past have taken these mobile quarterbacks and your goal has just been to keep them in the pocket. And then yesterday you came out and you're just like, nope, we're going to attack. Is that a philosophical change? A little bit of a wry smile. And he's like, I'm not going to get into that question too much, but then he kind of, you know, transitioned into some fronts, but didn't want to divulge any secrets, any state secrets there. But yeah, you could tell there was a huge change in philosophy for how they went about attacking mobile quarterbacks in this one. And then we certainly saw the results of that. But like I said, that's a perfect way to wrap things up today. Thinking about Green Bay and that core group of contenders for a championship for sure. Carmen, it is wonderful to be back chatting with you for this upcoming season. Where can we find all of your incredible work?
Yeah, I mean, the best way is just to follow me on social media, Carmi V, Twitter, Instagram, Blue Sky. I'm pretty active on Blue Sky. There's games where I think I probably exclusively skeet on Blue Sky. So I like that place better. Go check it out.
Go check her out at Carmi V over on Blue Sky. You can find me, of course, at Andy Herman NFL. Carmen's going to be joining us each and every week throughout the course of the season. Super pumped for that. So go make sure and support her as well. Again, over on Fox Sports Radio. You can find her at host of Fox Sports Saturdays. That's going to do it for us today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.